Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop for this Tuesday, May 19th. I'm Sarah LeDuc, in for Ray Graff. History is on tap today as we welcome back Catherine Sheehan, the executive director of the Hart Clewitt Museum and the Rensselaer County and Troy City historian. A native of Troy, Kathy has lectured on various local history topics, including Uncle Sam, maybe you've heard of him, the Underground Railroad, public health, women's suffrage, agriculture, and the changing landscape of the county. Do you have a regional history question? She has an answer. Give us a call, 800-348-2551. Again, that number is 800-348-2551. You can also email your questions to voxpop@wamc.org. The number again, 800-348-2551. Kathy Sheehan, history and your calls coming up on Vox Pop after the news. Hello again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Sarah LeDuc, in studio today for Ray Graff with Catherine Sheehan, the executive director of the Hart Clewitt Museum and the Rensselaer County and Troy City historian. She's a native of Troy, New York. Her career at the museum began as an intern from the public history program at SUNY Albany. She's the author of a publication titled Architecture Worth Saving in Rensselaer County, Revisited 50 years later. Kathy Sheehan has lectured on many local history topics and has been an advisor for HBO's production of The Gilded Age. She can often be seen giving tours through downtown Troy and Oakwood Cemetery. Call us with your questions, 800-348-2551. That phone number, you know it, you love it, 800-348-2551. And you can email us at voxpop@wamc.org. The other Kathy Sheehan. Catherine, hello. Welcome back.
Hello. It's so nice to meet you in person and see you. I've been listening to you forever on the radio. So
I have been here a bit.
This is great.
And I've been listening to you on the radio with Ray, and you're a fantastic Vox Pop guest, and I'm so excited to speak with you this afternoon.
Thanks. This is fun. Yeah.
Before we get into it, I do want to mention to our listeners that the lockbox is open, and you can support WAMC anytime by visiting our website, wamc.org. Give what you can for the station that you believe in that is here for you in the region. Thank you in advance. WAMC.org. The phone number for today, 800-348-2551, or the email voxpop@wamc.org. What's new in history?
Wow. It's been very busy since I was here last. We just opened our new exhibit for our America 250.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Yes, it's exciting. This is the first half, actually, because we only have X amount of space, and so we decided to break it up. We're looking at the title of the exhibit is called A View from Here, and it is the peoples of Rensselaer County.
Oh, great.
And we had a wonderful guest curator, because I just hired a new curator and a new educator. So we have
congratulations.
Brand new staff. So we had a lull time in between. And so we had hired Dr. Siobhan Quinn, who actually did her doctoral thesis using our collections on the German communities that settled in Rensselaer County. So we knew she had done a lot of background research. So we asked her if she would curate this exhibit, and she jumped right on it. And it's fantastic. And we are looking at this first half this year that's open now till December, is looking at everybody from the Mohican Indians and the Abenakis who had settled in Rensselaer County. Not settled, they were here.
They were here,
right. They truly are our native born. And then everybody else that came in, you know, so working up with the, including, of course, the, you know, who are the Tories that may have stayed here, the Hessian soldiers that came during the Revolution, the people who came over from Connecticut and settled in eastern Rensselaer County and southern Rensselaer County out in Sand Lake and Petersburg. And then all, you know, got the Irish that came in and working on the Erie Canal and Germans. And so it's just been fascinating to see how many people have come in and what their contributions were. How long did they stay? How many generations? And so this first exhibit takes us up to about 1890. And then next year we'll be doing 1890 to the present. So we'll be looking well into the 20th century. So
how did you pick that year of delineation?
Well, so it's interesting. Rensselaer County is actually formed in 1791. We are all part of Albany County. We are the Manor of Rensselaerswick that goes back into the 1600s.
Say that again.
The Manor of Rensselaerswyck.
Somebody write a book.
There's been a few. Killian Van Rensselaer, of course, he has the big grant and gets all this land that's on both sides of the Hudson River. And then in 1791, that's divided out. But, you know, obviously, because we know the Native Americans were here already and before 1791, that's why we wanted to start it back into the kind of the 1600s, in around the 1620. And of course, then the Dutch come in, and which is the Van Rensselaers and everybody else. So that was a method to the madness on that one.
You have to pick a method. Go into more, what are some of the waves that you're featuring in the exhibition right now? Some of these, and the contributions that have made, the numbers, why they came, how they came, and how you find out the information as a historian.
Yeah, well, it's really fascinating. One of the things I love about this exhibit, so I'm a historian, but I'm not an exhibit designer at all.
Okay.
It's great. I can feed the information, and then they all make it look amazing. Our deputy director, Amanda Irwin, is also an artist. And so she had this eye, and her and Siobhan were talking, and it's just great when you come in to the exhibit, it's very kind of sparse, not a lot. Obviously, the Native Americans were here, but there's not huge settlements or towns and things like that. So you see, we have a replica of the Half Moon when Henry Hudson came up the river, and some, you know, wonderful paintings. And you're looking at archaeological.
What scale?
Pretty small, about, you know, I don't know, 12 inches, 14 inches across, okay. You know, not a big, yeah, we don't have that big of a gallery.
Right.
and then, you know.
It's such a beautiful ship.
Yes, it is. It's really cool.
It is.
So then you're looking at, and then it gets a little bit heavier now because we have the Dutch influence. So we've got some great, you know, Dutch tiles and an early chair that just came into our collection about 3 years ago that had been owned by a family in Lansingburg. So that's there. And then we talk about Scaticoke up at the northern end of our county. Abenakis were a lot of present up there. And they had a peace tree that was signed. They had a peace treaty and they planted a tree in honor of that in the 1600s. And that tree survived till like 1949.
Okay.
And so we have a piece of that tree in there. And then it just grows and grows and grows because now we talk about after the revolution.
What kind of a piece of the tree is it?
It's an oak. Wait a minute. Is it an oak tree?
That's okay.
Yeah.
Is it a cross section?
Like a piece of trunk. Yeah. Yeah.
The whole width to see all the rings?
It's just like a piece of, like a big log.
Okay. Yeah, cool.
It's probably about this big. You know?
Great.
It's about 3 feet across. So,
yeah.
So our friends at the Knickerbocker Mansion Historical Society lent that to us. So it's been kind of fun to see what other of our other institutions, our other museums that are around that we, you know, borrowed some things from them. So, and then it just starts really filling up as the county grew, you know, into the 14 towns and the 460 square miles that it is today. So it gets very dense. Now we have photography and other paintings and artifacts and things like that. So if the visitor comes through and experiences that, they're going to get that sense of, wow, it got really crowded and busy here really on both sides of the river. I mean, this,
yeah.
You know, this happened in Albany County and over in Schenectady as well, you know. Up and down the river, right. You know, you have these relationships that were going on. So, and it's fun. So you really do start, I mean, I've been there, I'll be there 40 years in January. And, you know, I tell everybody, I said, every day is something new. I never know what is coming in the door, which I brought something with me today that came in the door, and other collections that I still haven't seen. So it's always exciting. I never have the same day twice.
That's beautiful. It's after 40 years, it's fantastic.
After 40 years.
To still be surprised and excited to learn about this specific region that you've made your whole life.
And I love it when people are asking. Yesterday I was at Tamarack Middle School in Brunswick, and we were talking about Civil War days. That's what they're working on right now. And I was bringing things from Rensselaer County related to the Civil War, and it was great. These young kids, they're like asking great questions, and it's like, oh wow, you know, let me go look into that. You know, it's like I love it when people pose something, and I don't know, you know, we don't. I always say, look, we don't know the answers to everything, but we'll keep digging.
You know? How often do you go into schools to talk to students?
Oh, a lot. We're right now at Tamarack, and then we'll be in East Greenbush talking about the 1960s, which I love that. You know, it's that kind of Cold War era stuff and Barbie dolls and transistor radios, and the kids are like, oh wow. And of course, it's really funny. I'm just turned 71. So like, what is that? I said, oh, transistor radio. I got one when I was 10. Yeah. And they kind of look at me and go, wow, you're really old.
Yeah. You know, and, I always say to the kids in the newsroom, you can't help when you were born.
You
right?
can't help when you're
born. It's whatever.
Yeah. But it's great. We always talk about those kind of moments in time. Like, what is your earliest nationally significant memory? Mm-hmm. And, you know, because I have this really relatively young staff now, and they're all kind of, you know, some weren't even born when 9/11 happened.
Yep.
And yet my first big memory was John Glenn orbiting the Earth.
Yeah. And that was a big one.
And it was a big one.
That is
yeah.
a big one.
Yeah.
The whole world was watching.
Right.
800-348-2551. Yeah. 800-348-2551 to call Catherine Sheehan, Rensselaer County and Troy City historian, with your regional history questions. You mentioned that something came into the
we did.
Came one into of, you one, recently. What is this?
So one of our members, Stephanie Stewart, has been going through, you know, everybody inherits everybody, all your ancestors' families, and this is her husband's family, who were from up in Steventown, and they were members of the Baptist Church. You know, a lot of buzzwords we hear today about the third place, and we talk about right. a lot of that in the exhibit, but it's always been going on, and one of the couple of third places, particularly in the, you know, 18th, 19th century, even today, are churches and taverns. You know, this is where news of the day happened. This is where you went. And I think when I look at kind of third places even that you throw in today, we were talking a little bit about before, it's like people go to find out information, you go to Stewart's.
I was going to say Stewart's should embrace that, not to give away an idea for free, but
right.
they should embrace the fact that they are a gathering space
yeah.
for community, cross right. party lines, etc.
Yeah. Well, and especially I think when you look at small towns. I mean, we think, you know, we got to relate to the Rensselaer County, but think of the hill towns in Albany up by Rensselaerville and Thatcher Park up that way, New Scotland. I mean, when you don't have some other stores, that is like an important spot. Think about every time you have weather disasters or weather things. Where does everybody try? You got to get milk. You got to get bread. You got to get gas. And you find out the news of the day. Pick up the papers.
Mm-hmm.
Going to Stewart's. Because they are there. They are everywhere. But this is in 1800 that this piece came. This is the minutes of the Shaftesbury Association.
It's a small
and it's
pamphlet.
A very small, yeah, pamphlet's about a 5x7 pamphlet on very early paper, which has a lot of high rag content in it. So it's in great shape. You can easily read it. And as I was flipping through this, I found down in the page, they were talking about recommending to the elders that we lend some assistance to the Baptist Church in the village of Troy. And they were talking about how they only have a couple of men and these females couldn't possibly do it, you know, couldn't possibly do anything. Well, just remember, this is 1800.
Mm.
And we need people to give some things. So they're like, oh, if you have lumber or money or time or things like that to help build a church, send it to Mr. Silas Covell in Troy by the 1st of January. Well, this is 1800. It took them 5 years to build the church. The first Baptist Church, which was on 3rd Street. A lot of people might know it. It's next to Barker Park or across from Hatchet Hardware. And it was most known for the building that was there now. It was built in 1847. But back in the early 1800s, it was Samuel Wilson's church. He went to that. So he was a trustee early on, so that he was probably helping to build some of the bricks because he was a brickmaker too. He wasn't just doing the pork and beef for troops during the War of 1812, which is where he's so famous from.
Mm-hmm.
And that got me thinking about this past Sunday in the Times Union. There is a wonderful story about Timbuktu, and
let's talk about that after
okay.
break. I am late. It's my fault, not yours. The phone number to call Catherine Sheehan with your history questions is 800-348-2551. We will hear from some of our fantastic WAMC underwriters and return to you shortly. Welcome back to Vox Pop. I'm Sarah LeDuc in for Ray Graff. Our guest is Executive Director of the Hart Clewitt Museum and the Rensselaer County and Troy City historian Catherine Sheehan. We were about to talk about Timbuktu.
Yeah. So Well, that whole...
The settlement in the Adirondacks.
The settlement in the Adirondacks, right. So we have Juneteenth coming up.
Yes, indeed.
And, you know, celebrating the emancipation. And there was this wonderful article about them doing kind of drone surveys of this lands in the Adirondack, which are now all overgrown. But the story of Timbuktu is fascinating, and it has its roots in Troy. Garrett Smith, of course, was up there in the Adirondack, gave this land, and of course they wanted the black community to be able to vote, and so you had to have $200 and be some piece of land. That was how you were going to be able to vote.
Right.
And so he offers the land up, and they came here to look at who wants to go up there? Remember, let's think about the Adirondacks. Pretty sparse up at that time.
Pretty cold.
Pretty cold, pretty sparse.
Then this is, it's right near Lake Placid, a town of North Elba?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. So several years ago, there was a woman, her name was Dr. Catherine Butler. And actually, it's her daughter or granddaughter that was mentioned in the article today. And she came to the Historical Society, and I didn't know anything. I kind of heard of Timbuktu, but didn't really know that much about it. Well, in that time period now, last 20 years, we have picked up more information, again, because of some other collections that we received. We have the Troy Savings Bank archives that go back to 1823. And in that are these wonderful signature books. Now, you think when you sign up for your when you sign up to get a bank account, you fill out a card. These were in these ledgers. And so there's this group called the Troy Female African Benevolence Society.
Love it.
And I know. Well, again, very rare at the time that we hear women's names. They had their first and their last names, which was great. We find out later on, and then you could start doing digging, that a lot of these members are members of the Liberty Street. The name of the actual title of the church was the Liberty Street Presbyterian Church for Colored People. Henry Highland Garnett, who's this young minister that came in from Oneida, New York. He was brought in by Reverend Nathan Beeman. And Nathan Beeman said, you need to run a church for the black citizens of Troy. And so there was this tiny little session house that was next to the church. Now, the church is, the First Pres Church is still there. It's Bush Memorial Hall now, part of Russell Sage College. Beautiful,
okay.
Big Greek Revival structure. Next to that, there was this little tiny session house. So they rolled it on logs down to Liberty Street. That's how we get that name. Mm-hmm. And this is how we start this congregation. And Henry Highland Garnett now is in Garrett, working with Garrett Smith. And he goes, you know, these families, he starts picking families from Troy to go up to Timbuktu. And so many, many of these descendants are up there, including Dr. Butler, Catherine Butler, Jones. Yeah.
Incredible.
It was incredible. So we just, it's these wonderful little snippets of these stories. And you don't always get, it takes years sometimes to develop the full thing. We still have it. You know, they're still always identifying who was up there. And I think in the end, I think they decided that it didn't work as well. A lot of the black community that had settled in Troy had been merchants, or they had been working on the shore as stevedores and things like that. They weren't necessarily farmers.
Right.
However,
or lumberjacks,
things like that. However, it wasn't completely. There were several families that were still up there, and I think still have that connection. So it's just been. I just thought that was a wonderful story. I got to check out that article.
You said it's in the Times Union.
Yeah, it was in the Times Union. Yeah.
Fantastic. No, I do have to read that. 800-348-2551 to talk with Catherine Sheehan. 1-800-348-2551 and me. Let us go to our first call. This is Abigail in Kingston. Hello, Abigail.
Hi. Wonderful, wonderful show. I wonder if the speaker knows about a book called On the Mountain in the Valley, Catskill Architecture, 1750 to 1920. It's based on an essay by Joseph Aronson and was published quite a while back, but I'm wondering if you're familiar with it. It's a beautiful, beautiful photography. It was edited by Bruce T. Sherwood, photographed by Mark Zeke, and designed by Bruce Goyat.
Oh, wow.
And it was published by the Catskill Center for Conservation and Development. And Joseph was a friend of mine who wrote this really wonderful essay, which took him a long time to get to, but he did it.
I know that, doing work on one arm myself now. Yeah. Oh, I do remember seeing that book. It is beautiful. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, good. Okay. Well, yeah. It's just something that I treasure. And I treasure you for doing the work.
Thank you, Abigail. It's really, you know, it's interesting when they look at, when you're getting to look at a larger area of the history, and it kind of starts tying those together. Because, you know, again, I think we all get pretty provincial about the areas that we all live in. And so when you can explore a wider region and looking at, you know, down in the southern Hudson Valley, and you realize that we all have these connections, you know?
Yep. Only connect.
Really can always connect.
The epigram in Howard's End.
Exactly.
By Ian Foster.
Yes, yeah. Of course.
All right. Well, thanks for taking my call.
Absolutely.
Much.
Thank you, Abigail.
Well.
You too.
Thanks, Abigail.
Have a beautiful day.
Bye-bye.
800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. So, Kathy, since you do know everything about Rensselaer County and Troy, it's not a real quiz. But speaking to what the caller just brought up and you just referred to, how much do you have in your brain encyclopedia for the surrounding areas, or is it really kind of concentrated to your area here?
Obviously, it's more heavily concentrated to the east side of the river, but there are so many relationships that we have with the Hudson, with Albany County and Schenectady County. I mean, think of a lot of businesses that work together. I'll just use an example of, like, back to the Civil War when they made the Monitor, the famous ironclad ship. It wasn't just their plates for the turret were rolled in Troy, but there was other things that were done in Albany and Schenectady. So you start to look at the different things. We look at the competition, fierce competition that was going on, like with the railroads. Rensselaer County beat Albany County to get the first bridge over there, but then Albany County started having, you know, and they're older, you know, Albany's, you know, another 100 years plus older than Rensselaer County. So, we do, but there was always a lot of back and forth.
There's enough to know.
There's
your,
enough to know
in
yeah.
your county and town.
Yeah,
yeah,
of course.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting.
800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. We have an email question. This from Cheryl, who says, are enslaved people included in the new exhibition at the Harcluet?
That's a great question. And yes, they are. One of the pieces that we borrowed from the Pittstown Historical Society, it was actually the Baptist church there. And you had to, they found it through that, but it was in the town, you had to list the slaves that you had. Mm-hmm. And this is from 1800 to about, I think the register goes about 1810. So anybody that had slaves born had to register them within the town. But every town would have had them. Slavery was not abolished in New York until 1827. So that went on for a long time. Now, some of those things don't survive, so it's amazing that we do have that one. And again, it's been an interesting way to now have those people's names mm-hmm. that you start to track as people are navigating, trying to find out, you know, where their ancestors came from within the Black community. You know, not everybody came up from the South as freedom seekers. So, you know, we had a large, you know, free Black community that was here early on. And of course, we had slavery here. Yeah.
800-348-2551. Another email question, this from Amy, who says, good afternoon. A family member owns the home on the corner diagonally across from the Troy Savings Bank Music Hall. I'm sorry, I don't know the street address. The music hall's parking lot is directly across the street from this house. Do you know the history of the house?
Yeah, that's right up the street from the museum.
Isn't
all
it?
Those houses there, those are all built in the late 1820s early 1830s. The Harcluet house that's part of our complex is 1827. And then the one that's on the corner is probably about the same time period with a wonderful addition that's on the back. Lots of different people lived there. It wasn't any one particularly one famous person that had. But one of the things I love about that particular house is it has beautiful ironwork on the back that they did a walled-in garden. You know, when you think about urban living and, you know, everybody likes to carve out their little piece of privacy. And this has a wonderful brick wall with this beautiful wrought iron fence, and wrought iron railings and decorative railings were a huge industry in Troy in the 19th century. If anybody walked up and down First Street, Second Street, 30, and you see these beautiful flame finials. I'm thinking right across the street from the music hall is Bacchus.
Yes, it is.
Yes,
it is.
Right,
I was picturing.
Yeah, and that was Mahoney Ironworks. They had did a lot of beautiful ornamental ironwork. And even look up the roof of the Troy Savings Bank Music Hall. The incredible cresting that's on the roof line. So it's one of the really fun things to just look down and see if you can find who made that ironwork. But that was particularly nice at that house that's across there. And of course, our Troy, speaking of that, our Troy Savings Bank Music Hall, there's a wonderful documentary that is airing tonight and will air for everybody else tomorrow night on PBS.
On MHD.
On WMHD. Yeah.
Fantastic. Yeah, no, the Troy, and they opened their new music hub today?
Today. We did. We were at the press conference this morning.
Fantastic.
And it is incredible. I encourage everybody to get tickets
tell us
to
more
go.
About it.
Oh my gosh. So they did just such John Elbaum and Stacey Bridge and the rest of the crew. And Lizzie was involved in now he works here at WMC.
We stole her.
Yeah,
sorry.
You stole her. but they, what was really amazing is those of people who remember when it was the Troy Savings Bank as a bank, when you walk into this now multi-use space that they're going to use for performance things, small performances or for events and things like that. It still feels like the bank. I mean, even though the teller windows are gone, but they were so good about leaving the restoration of when the bank was in from like the 1950s. So there's this really cool paneling. There's these wonderful murals that they kept.
Cool.
It's really, they did such a great job. Just kudos to them. And it's just state of the art now. And it was, today's already 90 degrees and it's air conditioned now. So now
nice.
The music hall can offer things year round and you're not going to be sweltering.
It really is one of the jewels of the region. I love the music hall.
Oh my gosh. It really is a great box office now and everything handicapped accessible. And so that is just, it's fantastic.
Exciting
really
things you love to
yeah.
see it.
Yeah.
800-348-2551. 800-348-2551. Speaking of the sort of hidden gardens of mm-hmm. Troy, the Hidden Garden Tour is coming up. Do you want to tell us about that?
Yes, that's another. So that'll be this Thursday. I think it runs from 4 to 7. And you can go just below Russell Sage College on 2nd Street and get tickets. Actually, go if you want to get them ahead of time, you could go to Truly Rees, which is a shop right on Monument Square.
Sure is.
And she sells tickets there. And
is
this
it
is
antiques?
About... No, 19. No, she's clothing.
It's
clothing boutique.
Sorry, yep, that's right.
Yeah, she's a clothing boutique there, and I'm sure there's probably some other places that sell tickets too. But I can't off the top of my head. I knew Reed did. And this is, it's such a showcase to look at what people do with a small amount of space. Think about it. These are all the brownstones. These are a lot of what's been filming for the Gilded Age. You know, we're all HBO's back in town now to get ready for filming for season 4.
They haven't put dirt down on the streets every time they've shot here, have
no,
they?
No, they use the fake cobblestone a lot.
That's right. That's
which is
right.
really kind of cool.
That was incredible. I did get over there.
Yeah.
It was a number of years ago now when they first really made it look and redid all the windows mm-hmm. on Monument Square. And
yes.
It was like old timey. It was so cool.
Yeah, it was really cool. That was really exciting. Yeah, they were lighting the Times building.
To have HBO's money. Ooh la la.
I know. Well, we're going to get a little bit of that. They're going to be filming in the Hercluid House this year, so we're really excited about that.
That's great.
Yeah, they'll be filming our parlors. Those of you who come to our big annual green show know our 1827 federal style townhouse is going to be the site of one of the scenes this year. So,
do you know
ready.
Which family? Do you know who's?
Don't know.
No,
they don't tell you that kind of
that
information.
Makes sense.
You know, it's not. I don't.
Hush.
I'm not in need to know.
No. And that is okay. So,
but
I interrupted
exciting.
You describing
oh, no,
the garden
yeah,
tour.
Yeah. So the garden tour. Yeah. It's really wonderful. And so I think there's over 30 gardens. And people have water features and these beautiful brownstones that everybody looks at from the street. And we'll be open to the wonderful ladies of the Van Rensselaer Garden Club have turned our side deck in our car building into a gorgeous little retreat with flowers and everything. So we're going to be open as well. And people can come and see our exhibition on a view to here. But then all the way down 2nd Street, all the way to Washington Park. And it's like a party. People go up and down the alley. They're up and down 2nd Street and see these incredible gardens. And of course, the proceeds go to the work always being done on Prospect Park, which mm-hmm. is our big city park in Troy up at the top of Mount Ida. And They're working on plantings into trees and playground equipment and, you know, all sorts of things that, you know, help augment city budgets that are really tight. So they do beautiful work. And, you know, garden bench. I mean, we don't think about, you know, park benches again.
Not free.
You know, to have that. So that's where the proceeds go. It's a great fundraiser and just a lot of fun for people. And the weather's going to be beautiful. So
that's fantastic.
Come over to Troy on
Thursday. I haven't done the Troy Hidden Gardens tour, but I've done the Albany one. And I was astounded at the, like you said, surprise, like decorative gardening and spaces that people have been able to create that you would never know are there.
I know.
Unless you jumped a fence, which is not encouraged.
Not encouraged, yeah. Oh, I know. I did the Schenectady, the Stockade Tour. And, you know, if you haven't gone through and walked through the Schenectady Stockade, it is just, it's like its own little world down there. It's just fabulous. And when they do the house tours, and they think they've done garden tours and things. And it's just always people, you can see the love that people have for these historic structures. They want to take care of them. They're so proud of them and have done such beautiful work. And it keeps these going. And that's why HBO loves to come here.
Yeah.
You know, really, we really have something very, very unique in this Tri-City area that we have. I mean, think of all the great neighborhoods in Albany, too. They're in Washington Park and up by, you know, by St. Rose and the pasture down by Schuyler Mansion. And, you know, how lucky are we to have all that?
Very fortunate.
Very fortunate. You
know, yeah.
You can't go 20 minutes and not be around something new.
Not last Independence Day, but two ago. I think it must have been. I took my niece and nephew were in town and we went to the Schuyler Mansion for their Independence Day activities. They had jugglers and you could walk on, like, roll, you know, try to roll a hoop with a stick.
Oh, the Hoops of Graces.
Yeah. And rock on, like, little stilts. They also had, you could hand dip candles.
Uh-huh.
And it was the quietest and most concentrated my niece has ever been, ever. And I was like, I think we're going to have to get a setup like this for the house to occupy her time and have her make us a lot
candle
of candles.
Dipping.
We haven't done it, but maybe we still will. It's time for another break, and then we will return with Executive Director of the Hart Clewitt Museum and Rensselaer County Troy City Historian, Catherine Sheehan. You can give us a call, 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551, or email us, voxpop@wamc.org. We'll be back after this. Welcome back to Vox Pop. I'm Sarah LaDuke in for Ray Graff this afternoon. Kathy Sheehan is the executive director of the Hart Clewitt Museum and the Rensselaer County and Troy City Historian. She's in studio. I'm in studio. And we're hoping that you're going to call with some history questions. The phone number is 800-348-2551. 800-348-2551. I wanted to ask you, you mentioned teaching, talking to students at Tamarack about the Civil War. Is that, not to get, you know, too political, but is it a complicated subject? I mean, we're in the Northeast, so hopefully it's
right.
But is there any pushback on realities or
not really? Okay. You know, it's always interesting. Sometimes there was a student who had said, you know, the grandfather was from the South and he called it the War of Northern Aggression. I said, yeah, well, you know, that's what everybody in the South. But no, they'd already, by the time I come in, it's kind of, I bring all the fun stuff. So, you know, they've already been wrapping up on the on that unit for them. So these kids are really smart.
Yeah,
really well versed.
So they've learned the sort of general lesson they're going to learn, and you tie it to the region.
Exactly.
Gotcha.
Exactly. You know, what did we bring? You know, what kind of things? You know, we were such a huge manufacturing site during, I mentioned the plates for the monitor, but, you know, we also had, you know, the Scaticoke Powder Works was, you know, making gunpowder to bring to the Watervliet Arsenal. You know, and they're making the guns. And, you know, so this area was, you know, huge in that. Henry Byrd was outfitting the entire cavalry of the U.S. Army with, you know, horseshoes and then the railroad spikes that they're using, you know, to build the railroad. So, and then what I was interesting talking about with the kids was that I said, in the middle of all that war production, in the middle of the war, Troy has this devastating fire in 1862 that just destroys the whole downtown. But there was so much money that was being made on all this kind of war production.
Mm-hmm.
City was rebuilt within 9 months.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Rebuilt
well? Yes. Oh, yeah. Yes.
That couldn't happen now.
Yeah. No.
No. No, no, no. It just doesn't.
No. Yeah.
No.
9 months.
And those buildings are still standing.
Many of them are. What's interesting is the
you
field
just
of
blew
fire.
My mind.
The field of fire was also almost the same field of urban renewal in the late 60s and 70s. Mm. Almost identical by tract. And for those familiar with Troy, if you know the Green Island Bridge and like Dinosaur Barbecue mm-hmm. and over that way. Yeah. The fire started on the bridge and then swept to the east. And so all those buildings were torn down. Well, a lot of those buildings were torn down for urban renewal. Yeah. And the same way. Yeah. It did go down as far as like things like where the music hall and things like that were down here with the Historical Society kind of went kind of straight across and over to the hill.
You know, how terrifying.
Like by RPI. Terrified. And amazingly, I mean, it was like 750 buildings. There were 15 lives that were lost. Kind of incredible that there were only 15 lives lost.
Yeah.
It really was a miracle because that was a firestorm. I mean, it was a very windy day and it just, you know, just that all those embers from the burning wood-covered bridge, mm-hmm. railroad bridge, just blew right into the city. Yeah. And it still had a lot of wooden buildings at that time. We have
sure.
a lot of brick buildings and things now, but they still have wood structures or wood cornices that's caught on fire. Yeah, and actually in the exhibit, there's molten glass that melted in the current that, you know, because that was it impacted, you know, everybody's lives.
Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can't have half a city burned down and not change the course of history.
Change the course of history. Oh.
So it's not the only city to have been burned during the war, but it was different.
Yeah.
The cause.
Right.
Let's go to the phones.
Right.
We have Rich in Newburgh. Hello, Rich.
Good afternoon.
Hi, Rich.
I grew up in Lansingburg in the 50s, and I've always considered Troy to be almost a historical amusement park in a way. For example, I remember climbing the mountain behind Lansingburg up to the Oakwood Cemetery, where there's a magnificent look by the pond that has a commanding 180-degree view of the Hudson Valley. And even as a child, I remember thinking, you know, the Cohoes Falls and the Erie Canal. You could see the Capitol in Albany. You could see the Catskills and the Adirondacks. And right behind me, just a few hundred yards, was Uncle Sam's grave. So Troy really typifies this epicenter of history, not only in the Hudson Valley or New York State, but I even think in the United States. I believe Troy, in its heyday, when it was at the headwater of the Erie Canal, could rival San Francisco and St. Louis with its level of commerce and industry. I like to marvel in the Oakwood Cemetery, for example. I see the grave of Thomas Eaton. Now, he was the first president of RPI. He was self-taught, from what I understand, and he was the man who engineered the Erie Canal. So after his accomplishment with the Erie Canal, he was, I guess, designated the first president of RPI. But one fact I'd like to introduce for your consideration is something I lived through myself. Troy has always been educationally a very progressive city. I cite Emma Willard, the first female academy and normal academy in the country, Russell Sage, RPI, first engineering school. All of these things lent Troy to being an education hub. But what I think is often overlooked is how progressive an educational hub it was in the 1950s, when Troy, and specifically Lansingburg, was one of the first cities in the United States to have a children's museum on the banks of the Hudson in a Victorian gingerbread home, was located the Rensselaer County Junior Museum, which opened in the late 50s. And I consider myself very much a product of having benefited from that resource in Troy. And the progressive thinking that went on there, mind you, at that time, there were probably less than 5 children's museums, or not even 10 in the United States. And that children's museum continued to flourish, I believe, up until the early 90s, when it had relocated on the campus of RPI at the top of the steps to RPI. But I think it's notable that Troy was one of the most was a progressive education center and home of one of the first children's museums in the country.
Yeah, I
do you want to fact check him on all that?
Oh yeah, oh, he's spot on with
fantastic.
All of that.
Great job, Rich.
Good job, Rich. And I too was when you think about people, how do you love museums? I said I was over there at the at 102nd Street at the Junior Museum right there on River Street. The house is still there, of course, and it made an impression on you for sure. They actually, the Junior Museum actually started in the basement of the Historical Society.
I know that.
And it was the Junior League, which
yes.
started it, and then they moved up to Lansingburg, and then they went into the firehouse up in Lansingburg as well when Ralph Pascal was director, and then they went over
actually,
to the Winslow Building.
It was under the stewardship of Todd Pulliam.
Oh yes, Todd you're
Pulliam
right.
Todd Pulliam had been the director when I was a child. I didn't know the museum when it was in downtown, but I knew it in the Gingerbread, and he was the one who. Led the movement to relocate in the J.J. Childs Firehouse in 1975.
Right.
And that architectural renovation, it's an adaptive reuse of a 19th century firehouse turned into a trend-setting children's museum.
Yeah.
That project won the New York State Council on the Arts Award in 1975, a statewide award for its innovation and leadership in the museum field.
Yeah.
I know that because I worked there.
Ah.
And one other aside is not only did I grow up with that children's museum, it was where I got my first job after graduating from Siena. I went on to continue my career in museums. I worked at 11 museums in a 40-year career, and I was the director of 8 of them.
Wow.
And that's all thanks to the inspiration provided me by the Rensselaer County Junior Museum under Todd Pulliam's leadership.
Yes, you're right.
Todd. Early 1960s. So Troy's a very special place to be.
Oh, that's such a great. I'm so glad you shared that memory with us because it really was, and it was very important. And one of the things I always thought was one of the best programs that we worked with the Junior Museum was we had a program called City Folk, Country Folk. And you remember the log cabin that was there based on a Berlin or Berlin Petersburg family. And so the students would come. You helped build it.
Good
oh
gosh.
My gosh.
I think you guys have to get a coffee.
I think so. And I was so upset when they did not bring that on to the Winslow Building when they moved because we loved that program. And it was they dropped it. They went, they were changing paths a little bit and went down to more like science museum kind of things as most museums were doing. And then, of course, then they went to North Greenbush. They actually the children's does still exist. They're up in Saratoga now.
Yes.
The Saratoga Children's Museum. And but there's some funds that every year they still have to do a program that relates to Rensselaer County. So we still work with them on that. So it's still continuing today. So, we're really excited about that. But yeah,
carry on your good work.
Oh, thank you.
Museum people are very, very special people. And there's a special place in heaven for museum people.
Well, and you as well. Thanks for building that wonderful log cabin. It was great.
And thanks for listening and for calling, Rich. We appreciate it.
Have a good day.
You too. 800-348-2551. We're going to go back to the phones, but I do want to mention again, speaking of special places in heaven for certain demographics, public radio listeners and donators. They're up there, too.
Absolutely.
The lockbox is open, and you can give anytime at wamc.org. Just wanted to throw in a little reminder here as we progress.
Most wonderful station in the Capital District.
Oh, we did not pay her to say that.
You did not. I love it.
800-348-2551 to give us a call. And we'll go now to Dan in Albany. Hello, Dan.
Yes, hello. Enjoying the show.
Thank you.
One thing I've always wondered about, we have Lansingburg and we have North Troy. Are they the same thing? Are they coterminous?
It's the same thing. Lansingburg begins at 101st Street. Lansingburg is actually older than Troy by about 60, 70 years. So that's actually settled first. Jacob Lansing had blocked off those streets in a grid pattern, like Troy did. But yeah, they're early on. There was actually a toll bridge at 101st Street River, right very near the Brunel House that we were just talking about that became the Junior Museum. And So people say North Troy. Anybody that grew up in Lansingburg doesn't say North Troy. They say Lansingburg. So, and they have some wonderful, oh, my God. And it's just, matter of fact, New York State has designated a historic district now.
Okay.
Up in Lansingburg. First, there's early Dutch houses in Lansingburg. So like about 112, where Powers Park, about 111th Street up to, I think, about 120, maybe up all the way to 126th Street. So it's its own historic district and incredible buildings that are there. It's a great, great, great part of town.
Yes. Now, we have to mention sports in Troy. You know, we have the boxers, the heavyweights back in the 1800s,
yep.
John Morrissey, John C. Heenan, Patty Ryan.
Yep. Of course, Johnny Morrissey is more famous for starting the Saratoga Racetrack, but yeah, he's from Troy.
Yeah.
Yep.
And
the Haymakers.
The Troy Haymakers.
Haymakers baseball.
About Johnny Evers.
And Johnny Evers. Tickers to Evers to Chance.
And then we had King Kelly. He was the Mickey Mantle of his day back in the 1890s,
yeah.
King Kelly.
Yep.
He was born in Troy. He moved to Patterson, New Jersey when he was around 10 years old, but Troy can claim him.
Yes, we do. And we do claim him. Yeah, I know he's in the Hall of Fame. I know we could do a whole, I know Ray and I have always told we could do just a whole sports history show.
Well, you guys do that.
We do.
And I will not. I will listen.
You listen.
But I would not be the one to host.
That great, great sports history in Troy, for sure. And Rensselaer County, really. You know, you've got a lot of other, a lot out in the county. All through this whole capital region.
Thank you for calling, Dan.
Yeah, bye.
Bye-bye. Have a great afternoon. I'm not going to give the phone number again because we are almost out of time. There's a call coming in we'll take, I think, momentarily. Thank you so much for being here. I'm going to pre-thank you for being here so we can go long with the call once we get on it. Ah, never mind. Here it is. Let's go to Philip. Hello, Philip. In Pittsfield. Hello there.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay. I know your time is brief. I just want to mention that the other day I came across a documentary on YouTube that if you search for how America built the Erie Canal before machines existed, it's a wonderful history of how it got started and how important it was, along with many important details.
Yeah, I've actually watched that, and it's very good. And as the previous caller had noted, it did RPI became instrumental in that, as they didn't have engineers at that point when they were doing the Erie Canal. So Amos Eaton and Stephen Van Rensselaer, a whole new crop of young engineers and surveyors, and then businesses. That there's a business still in Troy that starts back there, the Gurley Company. Gurley makes transits and all that kind of surveying equipment. Still exists. It's amazing. Yeah.
Say the name of the doc again.
I just
want
to pass it on because I think it fits in perfectly with your show here.
Yes, of course. Thank you so much. We appreciate that. And it's right on YouTube. People can, as my niece says, search it up. She always says, search it up.
Search it up.
Okay. We are out of time, but I want to thank everyone who called and who emailed in. And I also, of course, want to thank you, Kathy. It was wonderful to hang out with you and learn so much
thank
from
you
this
Sarah.
Afternoon. Thank
oh,
you.
Oh, I loved it. It was fun sitting with you.
Thank you. Yeah. Support for Vox Pop comes from Sinapoli Insurance Agency, Great Barrington, Massachusetts, offering a variety of commercial, agricultural, and financial products. Information available at 413-528-1710. And the Logjam Restaurant, Lake George, offering lunch, dinner, and drinks, including prime rib. It's prime rib with an M. My congestion made it sound like prime. Hand-cut steaks, seafood, and signature salad bar with artisan breads. LogjamRestaurant.com. Thanks again for joining us today on Vox Pop. Our engineer has been Mike Bowen. Thank you, Mike. Your calls were answered by Ed Rosen. Thank you, Ed. I'm Sarah LaDuke, in for Ray Graff. Tomorrow, it's Pets and Vets. That is tomorrow on air at 2 p.m. The Lockbox open 24/7. give what you can when you can, support the station, and we thank you so much. WAMC.org. Coming up next, a little program we like to call The Book Show. Thank you.